Hello and welcome to the online service for Banff and King Edward Churches. And for anyone joining us, you are very welcome. I am Karen Cumming, Banff Parish Church's Children and Family Worker, and want you to know that anyone of any age or background is very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Karen. Karen has been Banff Parish Church's Children and Family Worker for the past few years. And we have greatly enjoyed her presence with us, her a special personality that's made people feel so welcome, especially families who weren't used to church. She's made them feel there's been a listening ear here in the church, and we're so grateful to Karen. But she's got to move on to a new and exciting job that opens up new possibilities, and we wish her every blessing and pray for her. Thankfully, Karen will stay as a member of our church, and she'll stay to help our Sunday club and other children's and family activities through the church. So thank you, Karen, and God bless you in all that you do. I'm David Locke, by the way, the minister of Banff and King Edward Parish Churches, and I want to add my welcome to everybody listening in just now, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us. We pray you'll enjoy our services and also get some benefit from any part of it, whether it's listening to hymns or listening to words of scripture or just listening to the silence and maybe even some of the words I say. The reason I'm doing this recording now with my face in front of you is that some people have asked to see me rather than just get pictures. So here I am in all my glorious beauty for just for you on this occasion. Behind me, you'll see pictures of our two churches and what underpins them and underpins us. Jesus, his grace and truth, his forgiveness, his friendship, his love, his kindness. Just some visual reminders of who we follow and who can help us if we listen to him, listen to his voice, listen to his spirit. But to help us listen to him and not me, let me now switch back to using some pictures behind the words. Today, we will be thinking about how we listen to others and listen to God and how good or bad we are at either. On our local community Facebook page in the past couple of weeks, there's been a wide-ranging discussion about a poster that was put up on a notice board near the harbour in Macduff, highlighting how Black Lives Matter. The discussion partly veered around the issue of accepting that all lives matter, but at times it may be right to highlight how some lives often are not treated equally and may need more support. It became heated and at times evolved into argument and choice words. I've not followed the debate in detail, so please forgive me if I haven't summarised it correctly, but it seems to me it's an important issue to discuss in the right place and manner. And how and where it is discussed seems important as well. For example, some said it should not be on a Facebook page meant for less serious local issues. I wonder, however, if another key issue is the problem of some modern social media, where people react very quickly in ways they might not do face to face, without maybe hearing or exploring what people are trying to say behind their immediate words. The Facebook page leader in the end, I think, pulled the plug on further discussion. Maybe the longer term lesson for us all is we need to find ways to hear what other people are really saying or meaning and give ourselves time to do that, as well as give ourselves time to work out what we are really meaning and saying and how we want to say it. There is guidance on these issues in the Bible if we care to look. As examples, Robert Simpson now reads for us from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, and from Proverbs, chapter 12, verses 15 to 16.
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word, but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult.
A lot of arguments may arise because people, you and me, don't always take time to think before we speak. It's true, isn't it? We don't listen as much as we should, even to those close to us. We interrupt as soon as we can, we drift off, and we don't listen to God as we should. But Jesus listened to God and listened to people. He took time to do both. So let's take time now to be still and listen to what God might guide us about. For God can be with us even in discussion of real life issues if we take time to listen. So we now sing or listen to the hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. We need at times to be still, just as Jesus took time to listen to others and to listen to God in prayer. So let's take time to pray. Let us pray. God of all people, all places, all times, we are still now, glad of this chance to come together in worship, for you are our God, the one in whose presence we find answers, the one in whose presence we can find peace and hope. You offer us acceptance, love, forgiveness, and renewal of our spirits. We can pass our worries, our anxieties to you and feel that peace only you can give. So we take time now, in amongst all the mess of life, to be with our God. Living God, on this special day, we give thanks that you are there and we can come to you. So hear us now as we bring before you our worries, our fears, our anxieties, the pressures and stresses of daily life, and the particular things that we're worried about just now. Our inner worries and fears. Some of us will have health issues or work issues or fear of loss of work. Some of us will face loneliness or worry about the way forward. Meet with us and guide us and help us take time to listen, not just now, but also later. Raise our spirits and hearts that we can face the week ahead with hope and with energy. Forgive us for the times that we've neglected you or we've rushed ahead without listening. And journey with us, we pray. Hear our inner thoughts, our inner words that we can't quite say, and journey with us, we pray. And hear us as we sum them up in the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the best bits of marriage guidance I've read emphasises the key to marriage, and in fact any relationship, is good communication. Talking with each other, but especially really listening to each other. We have two ears and one mouth, so be listening more than we speak. A man said to a friend, "My wife talks to herself a lot." The friend replied, "So does mine, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening." There's a bit of truth in that. We need to be listening in all our communications, especially about difficult issues. And often we don't. Whereas we rather bash out words. The problem with social media is we can put out a short, sharp comment as a quick reaction to other people's words, and that's it. No chance to show in our faces, our eyes, our gestures that we're trying to be kindly and understanding, and no chance to show the way we live shows what we're really meaning. Whereas maybe in a discussion face to face, we have an opportunity to understand what's behind the comment and what the person really means. To be fair, we so often, even in normal life, don't listen as we should and respond to the first thing somebody says. We often claim a lot more about ourselves than we should because we're not listening to what our inner selves are like before we criticise others. It's a battle within ourselves as much as with others to speak what is good sense and to hold back from what could drag us down by our words, to be slow to speak in ways that might provoke reactions of the wrong sort. The best example I can think about from Jesus is when he thought hard before he spoke, when he was provoked by his opponents, his legalistic opponents who wanted him to be seen in the wrong. Jesus supported the good laws of God that protect the vulnerable, but his opponents wanted to put him to the test by bringing him a woman who had broken a law which said she should be stoned to death. The lawyers tried to trap Jesus and ask him publicly before the crowds what should be done. Would Jesus come down against the harsh law and thus be seen to be a renegade? Or would he stand up for the law and seen to be against the vulnerable? Robert now reads for us the events recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 8, about that woman and how she had been caught in the act of adultery.
At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write in the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
What did Jesus do or say? He listened and thought, and in fact stalled for a time. He sat down on the ground and seemingly doodled with his finger, perhaps praying, perhaps thinking, perhaps calming himself in the face of aggressive behaviour by his opponents. All things we may need to do at times. They kept demanding an answer, and eventually Jesus stood up calmly and said words that are now famous. "Let whoever amongst you is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Jesus knew what would happen, and it did. Gradually his opponents began to see the challenge from a new perspective, that the woman is just like them, like us, we all fail. Or at least the opponents had to be seen to be accepting that. And gradually they all slid away. Jesus did not, however, let the woman completely off. He told her he doesn't condemn her, but also said, "Go and change your ways, leave your life of sin." Jesus stands up for both good law, but also in favour of the downtrodden and excluded and put upon. He stands up against mob rule by waiting, by thinking, praying and listening. He shows us the importance of taking time to think before speaking and not letting anger about our opponent's behaviour cloud what is good sense, and shows how calm speaking can win the day. And Jesus' words, "Let the person who's without sin throw the first stone," are good words that challenge us all, even on Facebook, to remember our own weaknesses before we put down others. Pointers for us all, I think. Jesus shows it's possible to be slow to speak and weigh up our remarks, which can break up tensions. He showed the calm that maybe came from the previous night when he had been probably praying on the Mount of Olives. A pointer to us to use prayer to help us face situations we might lose our calm. Oh, to learn from Jesus how to speak and act wisely. Let's sing or listen to another hymn. May the mind of Christ my Saviour dwell in me from day to day. Sometimes it's right to speak up, but even then we need to be open to guidance and to the different ways that God guides us, partly by being still and listening to wisdom of old in the scriptures as we did at the start, partly listening to and learning from Jesus, and partly listening for God's direct word to us through his Spirit. I'm thinking of an event in the life of the early followers of Jesus recorded in the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 8, when Philip is led to help a stranger, a person of a different colour and race and background. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 8, which Robert now reads for us.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
It's basically an event when the followers of Jesus were being persecuted and scattered to avoid execution. In doing so, one follower, Philip, hears a voice from God say to him, "Head south from Jerusalem on the road to Gaza." He listens to that voice and follows it. On the way, he met an important Ethiopian official starting out on his way home to Ethiopia. Now, he would have been a black-coloured person, showing, again, black lives matter. But to Philip, he was a stranger you would avoid. The Ethiopian is sitting in his chariot, reading his Bible, and Philip again hears a voice from God's Spirit to go up to the official, get alongside him, listen to him, help him. Philip does so and asks the Ethiopian if he understands the Bible passage. And the Ethiopian says, "How can I unless someone helps me?" So Philip explains about Jesus, and the Ethiopian, instead of being a stranger or someone at odds with Philip, asks to be baptized as a follower of Jesus, and is. Strangers listening to God and each other get alongside each other, discuss, and good comes out of it. Another pointer for us to be open to the Spirit of God, which opens us up to people who are different and calls us to help. The question is whether we are listening to God's call. There's a great story in the second book of Kings when Israel was at war with Aram, probably Syria, and the commander of the Aramean army, Naaman, suffered from leprosy. A captive Israel slave girl tells Naaman's family that Israel prophet Elisha could help him. And the Syrian king sends Naaman to Israel with a letter asking for help. It's all a plot. And when Elisha hears, he offers to help despite what the king thinks. And Naaman is told to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan and he will be healed. Naaman is furious because he wanted a proper dramatic cure face to face. But Naaman is given strong advice from his lowly servant, saying, "If you had been asked to do some great task, would you have done it? So why not try this simple thing?" And Naaman is healed. For me, the point is God can work answers through simple means, not always outlandish miracles, and sometimes through simple advice. Sometimes we need to listen to the guidance of ordinary people like that slave girl, like those servants through whom God speaks. Listening to the voice of wisdom, even when it comes from people you want to resist, is important. And then putting it into action is equally important. How open are you to listen to God's call? A hymn many people love is "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky," reminding us God calls each of us. And the question is, are we open to listen and respond to what he calls us to do? Listen now to "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I'm not afraid.
Let's take time now to pray for others. And even as we do, we can listen for what God might want us to be doing in response to our prayers. Let us pray. Loving God, we bring before you all the people in need in our minds and hearts just now. We bring before you people struggling from the effects of the virus and lockdown and the stress and pressures of life. People near and far affected by the possible loss of employment or loss of income. And people affected by the loneliness, as well as people locked and cooped up together, suffering from stresses and pressures of just being so close together. Help them listen to each other. We pray for our country and our leaders, that they can make wise decisions guided by you. Help them listen for good advice and then follow it. Guide our leaders, we pray, in the difficult issues of balancing the economics of our country and the health of our people. Be with business leaders, likewise having to balance keeping their companies going, the shops going, and keeping people in employment. Be with our caring professions, the doctors, the nurses, the chemists, the carers, the helpers. Support them in the difficulties of their care. We pray for our neighbours, those close to us and those just slightly further down the road. If there's something they need that we should be doing, show us and help us listen. We pray for all near and far who are finding life hard at the time. Hear the silent thoughts of our hearts as we name before you people in our family, our friends, our neighbourhood, our church, and people around the world. We pray for the situation in Hong Kong, and we pray for peace between the big nations of our world as well. Living God, we pray for our churches, that they can open up soon and share your love and hope and peace and forgiveness. And before then, Lord, help us be your people, each of us, sharing your love in practical ways. Hear all our prayers. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. And so now we draw closer to the end of our service. We've thought about listening. Please take from the stories we've heard what you wish. I'm reminded of famous women who listened to Jesus. Mary, whose sister Martha felt she had still much to do, but Mary sat and listened at Jesus' feet and earned the praise of Jesus for doing so. I'm reminded of the Samaritan woman at the well who, although a stranger to Jesus, sat and listened, and he listened to her. It's strange that our stories of listening often involve women. Is there a pointer for us men? I don't know. But I'm also reminded of the words said to Isaiah and repeated throughout the Bible, that so many people just are not willing to listen for God's voice. And if they did, they would turn and know God's healing help. Help us be listeners. Our readings today have shown us, I hope, that listening to people and to God is vital. But yes, it's hard. It requires effort, it requires focus, it requires biting our lips at times. And as I get older, I don't find it any easier to be a listener to the voice of wisdom, coming even from people I don't want to listen to. We need to wait before speaking and not let our anger cause us to speak unwisely. We need to listen for God speaking through his messengers and through our inner hearts and conscience. We need to get alongside people to help them listen. For people who are reluctant to open up to God in church, maybe listen more and be willing to move forward. For our church, for today, we need to listen how we're to move forward in new ways, like Philip, like Naaman, new ways after this virus. So much to listen to. But for now, we're going to close our service with me saying a benediction, and then we'll hear Karen again. And after that, we'll hear a word of song again, this time from Matt Redman, 10,000 Reasons. It's got a good line in it that is worth remembering. We're listening to the God who is slow to anger. One of the best ways to listen, perhaps, is in our singing, because we're listening to a God who wants to touch our hearts. And as we sing, we can share in our listening and share in our listening to each other. So if you wish, after the benediction, after Karen, listen on to Matt Redman's 10,000 Reasons. It's a recording, a live recording from the Royal Albert Hall. But for now, may the blessing of God, who we know as a loving Father, as Jesus, his Son, who we can know as friend, as guide and Saviour, and the Holy Spirit, who can inspire and lead us, be with you and guide you this day and in the days to come. Amen. And now a word from Karen.
This is Karen again. Thanks for joining us. Have a good week. May God bless you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me sing with the evening. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship your holy name.
Sung a lot of hymns tonight. My favourite hymn writer was Charles Wesley. In his very last hymn he wrote, age 81 on his deathbed, it says this: in age and feebleness extreme, who shall a helpless worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch one smile from thee and drop into eternity? Does anyone feel that unshakable hope? and love for Jesus Christ in this place tonight.
Yes, on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Oh, Jesus, still my soul, sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Oh, it's gonna be forever.